You are listening to Habsent-Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
Hello and welcome to Habsent-Minded, the European prospect preview, really. Is it a preview, though? Because we have players that have been active already in their divisions and series and for their teams. Bogdan Kuznikov.
Konushkov.
We have Kostenko and Gordon. We have Volochin, obviously. Nurmi played yesterday. And as we speak, Kapanen is playing as well. So there is a lot going on. Europe has started. Tomorrow, I will be in Ängelholm watching on Engström's season's opening game in a derby against Anton Rosengård's Malmö.
Yeah. Well, Anton Rosengård's Malmö, I wouldn't call it that. I've never been much of a Red Hawks fan, but obviously growing up in Malmö is the local team and everything. And especially looking at Malmö, they are like projected to be one of the bottom feeders of the league once again. So I'm hoping for them to have a better season, but Rögle is the clear favorite in that game. And it will be a fun opener for Adam Engström with a full house in Catena Arena.
Yeah, full house derby. You know, it's always pressure on when you face a local rival. It would be amazing, I think it would be the first time I see a season game in the new Catena Arena. Normally, I just go for the playoffs. But let's start with the Russians and work our way through to maybe the one that we have highest hope for this year, along with a certain player that is in Canada already. Bogdan Konushukov, you know, yes. Good start with the Nizhny Novgorod, had an assist in his first game, and obviously was on pace for, you know, 55 games in the KHL. The interesting thing with Bogdan is really, though, that he has a quite a long contract with Nizhny, so we're not looking at him to come over anytime soon.
He's been given the Kaprizov / Michkov deal to stay in Russia for as long as possible. But, you know, in this case, he's a twice overager already. He was drafted now this year in the fourth round as a KHL defenseman already. And he played quite well last season with 25 points in 64 games. So he's an established KHLer, and obviously Nizhny Novgorod wants to keep hold of him. And I don't know if the contract was signed ahead of the draft, because then it makes even more sense for them to lock up one of their premier defensemen who's only 20 still. He was extended in July this year. Yeah. So basically, like, for him, it's all about grinding on for the upcoming 3 years and perform as good, well as possible for Montreal to want to bring him over. Hopefully, the whole Russia situation will look better then as well. Let's hope for that. So we'll go back to somewhat of a normal situation in regards to the whole Russian war situation.
5'11", 176 pounds. It's not the biggest defender that we know about.
That's Logan Mailloux.
Indeed. But maybe David Reinbacher, he's up at Logan Mailloux's size as well. But it brings forward this question that we keep hearing about in the comments, and we keep hearing other media saying, you need big defenders, and right now, he isn't that big defender. It doesn't matter. And the rights is there forever, and because there is no KHL deal. So obviously with 3-year contract, it will be even longer. But interesting to follow. Two guys, though, that what we should look for is really time on ice and getting the opportunities to play with Nizhny in all situations. Hopefully, yep. I don't think he will get all situations just yet, but also maybe more importantly against all teams in Russia, in KHL, not just the average and bottom teams, but actually against the top teams as well.
Yeah, it was really nice to see him, you know, coming from Just having played one season in the VHL for Diesel Penza in 21-22 and taken a roster spot in the KHL with Nizhny Novgorod as a rookie, it's not, as we have spoken about with Alexander Romanov, it's not common for coaches to put their trust in young defensemen in the KHL. So it's a good sign for him that he played throughout all the season, and probably he's going to be one of the guys that they rely on this year. And yeah, it looks good, at least coming into the season. And he will be the most interesting Russian prospect to follow for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that Yevgeny Volokhin would be equally interesting.
For sure.
Jurgas Logo is one for ages, just so you guys know. But MHL, good start of the season. I think it was three games, 91.5 saving percentage, yeah. A little bit high on the goals against. But on the other hand, it's MHL, it's the under 20 league. It is a league that is known to where there's a lot of scoring. So I wouldn't hold it against him. I would rather look at his saving percentage than the goal against average in this case. Really interesting. Same there. Montreal have their rights until he decides to come over or retire, more or less. And therefore, it's interesting to let him just grow and mature in a league where he has all the opportunities to do so. I'm a little bit more worried about Kostenko in regards to going back to play VHL. He was with Kulun last year. He might get a loan into another KHL team this year again. But the fact that he hasn't really stuck in the KHL means that he is on a downward trend.
Yeah, he's basically back to where he was a year and a half ago, playing with Chimik Voskresensk, which is, I'm guessing, it's the farm team, the affiliate to Spartak Moscow, right?
Yeah,
so, yeah.
I know that Chimki is about, you know, it's a suburb more or less now to yeah. Moscow. They have a really good basketball team. That's what I know about Chimki.
Yeah, exactly. No. So the hope was for him to take a roster spot with Spartak Moscow, because he still played the whole season, 52 games with Kunlun Red Star last year in the Chinese part of the KHL. But Kunlun isn't a very good team. So for him to get just third pairing minutes on a KHL team that's more progressive as Spartak Moscow would be great. Maybe he can still, you know, with a good performance in Chimik, maybe he can move himself up. Or as you said, you know, getting a better loan deal this year. He needs those KHL minutes. He's the same age as Konyushkov. So he needs to play at the top tier level for the Habs to still have an interest in him. He is in his last year of contract as well with Spartak Moscow. So it's really a big year for him.
I remember talking to his under 20 coach in during the Four Nations in Engelholm, and he said he was thinking the game a little bit slow. If he was thinking the game faster, he would be with Spartak. That's my perception, at least. And so it seems that he's still stuck in those kind of junior mistakes that he was doing at that level. He wasn't part of the team that was supposed to go to the World Juniors. So yeah, I'm keeping him on the down low. And the fact that Alexander Gourdin is still playing hockey in the situation that Russia is in makes me happy for his sake, obviously. But it's interesting. There are some interesting prospects here, especially the one drafted this year with the and I tend to hold Volokhin a little bit higher than Konoshukov, but it's going to be a toss up. There are different levels of their career, and it will be easier to evaluate them after this year, at least.
Are you holding him higher because he's younger?
Maybe more set to the goalie standard of Russia is pretty high, You have that development system. We haven't really seen that many strong Russian defenders coming over. Alexander Romanov recently is the only one that I can think about. And then you have older Russian defenders that are still in the KHL. There isn't really a developing path to become an NHLer out of Russian defenders yet, unless you move over early, which obviously is going to be a problem. Second is also a little bit like, you know, we've seen it with other European defenders when you look at similar size, Mathias Norlander and other players that has struggled adapting to the North American game, and the when they don't get their own game going, it's tough to adjust. And I think, you know, we're probably going to talk about that in regards to Adam Engström later, but it's a problem that maybe I take more serious now than I did a couple of years ago.
I think it's also, when you compare to Norlander, for example, being the same size, it's always difficult with guys who get a lot of injuries at an early age. Mm-hmm. For Konyushkov, at least, it looks like he has played a lot even before mm-hmm. drafted. So it looks like he has been getting those minutes, which, you know, builds him up regardless of where he's going to play his career in the future. So would Norlander have been further ahead if he wasn't derailed by injuries? I think so. I still think that he was a premier talent coming out of Modo. Injuries can hamper a player. We know Joni Ikonen, for example, as another example. So let's just hope for Konyushkov to play as many games as possible. And the same for Volochin and Kostenko and Alexander Gordon as well.
And going from one defender to another, Petri Nurmi having his season debut yesterday, I put the GIF up. It wasn't much of a great assist, but he kept the puck inside on the power play. And in the end, Hopiko scored. And I think, you know, it's a good start. What was really interesting for me was he was used in both the power play and the box play. He played all situations. He played heavy minutes. And this is what he needs to do if he's going to come over to the AHL next year and be able to squeeze out a position on a stacked Laval team, which I will expect it to be next year as well.
Yeah, for sure. Since they've brought in a lot of young defensemen, Petri Nurmi was kind of an afterthought, like drafting him in the seventh round. I still think that he has impressed more than expected. Coming into like being an overager, being a seventh round pick, he's played well for HBK, but still an important season for him as well. As you say, like, you know, if you want to bring someone over to Laval next year or for the playoffs, it's supposed to be someone who can strengthen that team. And you can see a future for them at least being, you know, more than just the average AHLer, like an Otto Leskinen or someone. Like, you want someone to have a future of at least being a potential NHL call-up. I don't know if Nurmi is there yet, but, you know, he has this season to prove himself.
I can see him sign a AHL deal because I actually think he can, because Montreal still has his rights, but that would probably be beneficial for him and obviously for Montreal with the contract situations and also money-wise. But it is a very important year. It will be also interesting because I know that Liga teams do trades with each other, especially down the playoff, when playoff time comes around. And I think the fact that Nurmi is such a stable player, can be used in all situations, it will speak a lot of value if Hopiko isn't in the playoff run. And feels that they can give him that opportunity to be sent off with maybe a chance of a championship.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with an expiring deal as well. If they're out of the running, why not give him, you know, the opportunity to shine in a better setting?
Interestingly enough, we have Oliver Kapanen playing as an assistant captain for Kalpa right now. I'm just scrolling through here because there was just one goal, 3-1 to Kalpa here. But so far, Kapanen hasn't been on the ice for a goal, which is, you know, a little bit unfortunate. We expect a lot from Kapanen this year, and it is a quite big year as well. He took big steps last year, a little bit in the shadows, but this time we really want to see a coming out party from Kapanen.
Yeah.
Actually, he has been on the ice for the first goal.
Oh, good. So he's plus one today.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, super interesting player. I still maintain that I think with you know, looking at the top 25, that he was probably a bit underrated considering his season last year and considering the development he has had since he was drafted. Kind of, you know, under the radar. It feels like I'm just going to repeat myself by saying big year for him as well. But you know, he looks like one of the premier European talents as a present, and one of the most fun guys to follow this season. If you want to watch a European game, watching a game with Kalpen, Oliver Kalpen, would be a pretty good choice.
And I think, you know, you have his rights for 4 years. He can stay another year, but it's also the fact that, you know, you got Kapanen in there and you can bring him over, and I expect him more or less to come over to Laval next year. He is at that age where he needs to do that, and he has served his conscription. He has done his national service, in another word. But it's interesting, and you know, being giving a leadership role on the team at this young age, we saw it in the World Juniors. We just want him to really step out of his father's shadow. It's a big shadow to step out of, but we would like to see him at least half a step outside of it.
Yeah, and we've seen Jesse Ilonen, for example, who also was a second-round pick. He went, you know, his best season in the Liga was 27 points in 2018-2019. Oliver Kapanen also had 27 points last year for Kalpa. So we've seen what Ilonen can do in a Laval setting, and he's even performed quite well at the NHL level. So if Petteri Nurmi is kind of an unknown when it comes to if he will be brought over and how much he actually could add to a Laval team, Oliver Kapanen could for sure. I can imagine him coming over for a playoff push, for example, in Laval, and having a similar impact that an Emil Heinemann could have or had last season. Not with all the goals, but just, you know, pushing up the lineup and being a contributor.
I mean, for what we can say about Kapanen is that he is an upgraded version on Jan Mišak right now. He maybe doesn't score, neither of them score as much, but he's secure in his own end. He's strong, and he's in the offensive end, but it's still not on that level where we would want to see them on a Lekkonen level in SHL or similar level of former Liga players.
He's reliable. I mean, it wouldn't, if Owen Beck doesn't pan out as a future third line center, which we obviously hope, Oliver Kapanen would be a decent alternative to have in the system.
Of course. I'm not betting against Kapanen. No, on the contrary, I bet on him. But I also think that you would want to see a little bit more of offensive output. I said that with Ilonen as well, that I would want to see more offensive output. They're very, very skilled. They have high hockey IQ. Obviously, with the bloodline that Kapanen has, there is a lot to like. But I would like to see him score a bit more and points. It doesn't have to be goals, but points.
Yeah, agreed. If he can have a 40-point season or something this year, that would be huge for him. And I think it would answer a lot of questions as well, that he can be a complete 200-foot player. And then you can even, you know, potentially hope for him to turn into something more than a bottom six forward in the NHL in the future.
One player that we sort of bypass is obviously going to be David Reinbacher, who is with Montreal at the moment. I still have a hunch that he will go back. I hope he does, because I want to go to Switzerland this winter to watch some high-quality hockey, because National Liga is a really, really strong league. However, right now we don't know where Winton's Rohrer will play. He went over, bet on himself to go back to his youth team, Zurich Lions, but right now he's listed with the Zurich Lions, under 20, and with the development team, the Küchnacht Lions. Yeah. My German, I apologize. I'm sorry. This was something that Thomas Rost spoke about in a podcast that he more or less pre-recorded for us during the top 25 under 25. obviously Zurich has brought in big name players, big name forwards late in the preseason, and they are going for a championship that they need to win in many ways. That's the feeling in Zurich after a couple of years with Richard Grönborg, who hasn't really succeeded with the team and with the kind of hockey that is played in Switzerland, which also I think bans him from future NHL career. But Vincent Rohrer, he will play in a good league, and I'd rather see him play in the Swiss league than in the under 20 league in Switzerland, though, because the second division, the Swiss league, is a lot better than the under 20 league.
Oh, for sure, for sure. But it's the same as, you know, playing the VHL in Russia is better than playing the MHL, because you still at least get to play those senior game minutes with a couple of savvy veterans and learn from them. But, you know, we were just looking up at the elite prospects profile for CSC Lions, and they have 19 forwards as it looks right now. Obviously, a lot of those, well, at least six of those, will be sent down to the affiliate in to play in the second tier. And Vincent Rohrer is the youngest of them. So he has a two-year contract. It's possible that they think that he's going to start the season in the Swiss league and work himself up from there. I think that he would get a few chances. I don't think that he would come back without some kind of promise that he's going to get integrated into the Nationalliga. But, you know, maybe it won't happen in October. Maybe it will happen towards the end of the season, getting a few games here and there, or maybe it will even happen next year. But yeah, I think that Rohrer, if he looks like he did at Ottawa, he has a lot to add. Just feisty player. You can put him anywhere in the lineup and he will add something. An irritating, annoying player for opponents to face. So, once again, like coming from the OHL, he will need to get minutes. If that is in the if he can get a big role in the Swiss league to start off the season, maybe that's not too bad.
I think the fact would, there are two things that obviously speaks for two Rohrer's chances of playing in Nationalliga, and it's the fact that he holds a Swiss license because he played youth hockey in Switzerland before, and second, injuries. We're not going to sit here and wish anyone getting injured, but injuries will happen over a season, and that speaks to the chance for Vincent Rohrer, because even if it's a foreign player, he will be able to get into the team because of a Swiss license. So it's all good in that regard. It'll be interesting to follow. Obviously, we will have Thomas on to speak more about Vincent. We will probably have Thomas on to speak more about David Reinbacher as well.
Hopefully,
But that's where we are.
It's a little bit fun, just though. Like he will get the chance to learn about the Montreal Canadiens from two former Canadian players in Sven Andrighetto and Yannick Weber.
Filip Eriksson has scored against minor opponents in the Champions Hockey League, one Norwegian team and one Danish team. But what impressed me a lot was his fast shot, both goals coming more or less from the same angle in the same situation, a quick turnover and a quick attack. And from relatively in close, from the home plate area, he scores high on the glove side. Really, really sharp shot. He will get opportunities with Växjö Lakers, and it will be a player to follow down the line. I wasn't as impressed with him in the Five Nations Under-20 tournament, but there is a lot to build on, and Sweden didn't really have a good tournament overall. Some of my friends from Czechia was wondering if what has happened with the Swedish development system, but it was a team, a lot of players were home in Sweden in order to participate in different tournaments and building up for the season as well. I think it was important for Filip to get those kind of minutes, but he was moved from the first line to the third line over the tournament. We wish he gets to the World Juniors, but it's not sure.
No. There's a lot of there's a lot of competition to get on the Swedish team. And, you know, with Filip being injured a lot previously, this will be his first season being hopefully a part of the Växjö main team. And, you know, if he continues his development the right way, he can be an outsider, a kind of joker to get into the
senior
Swedish
team.
No, but I was thinking into the Swedish
under
team for world juniors. Yes, yeah. Exactly. But you know, there are a lot of players who have high draft pedigree and have performed really well for a couple of years. So,
and there's also quite a few players in North America that will want to go back home and play the world juniors in front of a whole crowd.
Oh, for sure.
So there is that. And if they don't make it into the NHL teams, they will be solid locks into a Swedish team that will at least try to go for gold, even if we don't hold our breaths. The most interesting prospect, most likely over the season, will, unless David Reinbacher comes back, because then he will take over completely, we all know that, is Adam Engström in Rögle. Really, really big year last year. Can he follow this up? Will he get into a sophomore slump? What is your take on this, Anton?
I think that it has started out well for him. I think that Rögle has shown that he is going to be one of their, you know, premier setup men as a defenseman. I think that he can. He seems like a confident guy. He seems like he has a lot of both ability and belief in himself. I think that as long as he stays healthy, he can be a real surprise because even if we have talked about him a lot and we hear these glowing reviews from, you know, coaches and media that you've spoken to, I still think that he remains a relative unknown to the Swedish hockey audience, for example. And I think that he can really have a breakthrough season this year with bigger role and bigger minutes.
One of our guests at the end of the season was Sonny Lindström for Expressen, one of the premier Swedish papers. Sonny Lindström, he's spoken very highly about Engström all through the preseason. We hope to get back on the pod, but we've spoken about it before, and let's speak about it again. Is this a new Mattias Norlander, what should we say, roller coaster ride for Montreal Canadiens fans?
Like, I don't think so. Well, I don't want to give Montreal fans too much hope for, and then they will just never believe anything coming out of Sweden ever again after Magnus Nygren and Mattias Norlander. But
well, let's at least remember Peter Popovich. Come on.
Well, that's too old for me. I just remember Peter Popovich as a coach. That's it. Christian Folin is the most successful Swedish defenseman to play in Montreal during the last 10
Well, at
years.
Least you didn't say Douglas Murray.
Oh, well, Douglas Murray is a chapter of his own, isn't he? No, but I think that Adam Engström has a lot. Like, when it comes to being a top four defenseman who you can rely on in any situation, he has a lot more pedigree than Norlander, who is that kind of... Norlander has more of a boom or bust, you know, playing style. He's remarkable when he gets space and when he can skate up the ice, and you know, in a way that Lane Hutson has done in the NCAA, for example. He's remarkable in the transition game, but it's difficult to get the ability to do that on a smaller surface in North America. So Adam Engström is just he's maybe not as flashy. There won't be as many highlight reels that it was with Mattias Norlander in Modo and Frölunda, but I think that he will add more in regards to just overall assists and, you know, being able to play those 20, 22 minutes when needed. He can add something on the penalty kill, on the power play. He has a sneakily good shot. You know, he has a lot of things that works well for him.
And obviously, Adam Engström was drafted in his draft year. Norlander was an overager, and he was playing in Hockey Allsvenskan at the time when he was breaking through into Montreal Canadiens fans' heads, whereas Engström is at higher level already than Norlander was. So I think it speaks for the quality of Adam Engström. You mentioned his overall play. Let's also be honest, when you and I watched the regular game last season, the regular season game, he was atrocious. I think he had two turnovers in his own zone, which caused goals. Mm. On the other hand, Felix Nilsson was the best player on the ice for Rögle, and he was just drafted this year. All the other pros were not.
Yeah, obviously, as a young player playing his first year in the main men's league in Sweden, there will be growing pains. And we happen to watch one of those growing pain games. what's important is that his coach Cam Abbott didn't didn't hesitate to throw him out there again, and that's
well,
the most
he didn't
important...
have any options because the whole team was crap.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they were underperforming last year, but it's still, you know, you can, as a team like the Gle, who has a bit of cash to spend, they could have gone out and just added a bunch of older players and just relied on them to carry them through the season. They didn't do that. They relied on a couple of younger guys who will be important for them in the future, like Felix Nilsson, like Adam Engström, and that's. That tells you a lot about the coaching staff as well, that they want to develop younger players and they want to give them opportunity to succeed and become better.
You've been listening to Absent Mind. You've been listening to Adam Engström. Wow, I just promoted you, Anton. Yes. You've been listening to Anton Rasegård and Patrick Bechtel. Thank you so much.
Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Loki. Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki season 2 is
marvelous.
Great. And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki season 2. Now streaming only on Disney+.